Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, cuties. Welcome back to Joking Not Joking. I am your faithful guide, the Professor. Today we get into the epic story of Moe's journey through comedy. This is part one of two episodes where we unravel this epic tale. From his beginnings in Houston, Texas, to breaking through and making his groundbreaking Netflix series, Moe. You think you're hot shit, don't you? Oh, it's live? Sorry. The saga starts with his interest in comedy, growing up and doing impressions as a young teenager. He eventually finds mentors and collaborators to start him on a path to success. And with a special combination of hard work, luck, and a good helping of bullshit, he lived to tell us the secrets he learned along the way. This is The Come Up, Part 1. Enjoy.
Joking, not joking.
What up, everybody? It's Mo.
What's up? This is your boy, Azaro Smart.
From Luminary, this is Joking, Not Joking.
So, 10 years old, you're like, I want to do comedy.
14, I started doing stand-up in school and, like, classes. Then I started doing it the rest of my high school career. And I would put on a little jacket and impersonate Chris Farley, basically roast classmates as Chris Farley.
I thought about the story recently. How did the teacher who offered you, like, oh, you could do stand-up in the class, how did that teacher know you wanted to do stand-up?
I was outspoken about it.
But you would just talk about it, you had never done it.
Yeah. Weirdly, on off days, you know, you have, like, off days when they will show movie days or something?
Yeah. Rolling the VHS.
Yeah, rolling the VHS situation. And they would sometimes play Cosby. And I'd be like, yeah, I saw him 4 years ago. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do stand-up.
Okay, so she knew from that.
And I would just constantly walk around like, yeah, man, what are you going to do? I'm going to be a stand-up comedian. You know, like somebody would ask me, like, what do you want to do? Or what are you doing? I would practice like my M's and like my signatures and shit. Like,
hilarious.
Yeah.
They're not signatures, autographs.
Autographs, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then so 14 in school you start. And then when would you say you went, quote unquote, pro? Let's define that. That to me is you are making a living from your comedy.
I was told the first time you're considered pro is from your first paycheck.
Right, fine.
It was $25 at a bar in, I think it was East Texas somewhere. At that point, I've done so many bar shows. It didn't, like, I would just do free stuff for a year.
Peanuts and drinks, right?
Yeah, I was doing it for a living, but doing a horrible job at it, essentially. So I would really call myself pro even before that.
So what age was that? 16, 17?
I started touring when I was 18. So no, 18. So just be, I would say August of 99, I went on tour with Danny. I was like, yeah, I could do it. I've just been doing it like a few months in clubs. He was like, you're not ready. I was like, I'm ready. I was not ready. Poor guy. I'm doing it like 2 months. I don't have any material. What balls do you have? You fucking loser. What a crazy person.
Tell me about the first time you met Danny Martinez.
Danny Martinez, owner of the Comedy Showcase, is no longer open anymore. I was told to go over there after open mic at the Laugh Stop, you know, this place where you really actually get better. I think you should go. I think, hey, man, I've seen you do stand-up. You should go over there. And I was like, okay. I was like, I'll introduce you. I was like, hell yeah.
Do you remember the comic?
Yeah, I do. Steve Strickland.
Wow. Is he still doing comedy?
No, he's not. Oh. He sells books or something. I don't know. He was the winner of the Houston Funniest Person competition, I think. So he was doing, he had some funny bits.
Which you went on to win a year later.
No, I did not win. I made the finals. I made fourth place, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember who won that year?
Yeah, Ben Mowbray.
Such a comic thing. You probably remember the second one and the third one.
Ben Mowbray, who's really smart. Really, really smart guy. You know, Babbitt probably, I'm certain of it, like he ruined him. That's the guy who ran the club and pretended to own the place and ruined the fucking place. He was a huge asshole to me. Like, so mean.
Wow.
But I love Ben Mowbray actually a lot. I'm super talented. I think it was Ben and then Sean Rouse got second. You remember Sean Rouse? Do you know him?
No.
Super funny, man. Really dark. God, he's so funny.
He still does comedy or he quit?
No, he died. He died. Right. Yeah. Right. He had really bad arthritis and he drank a lot from the pain. I'm sure of it. Mm. He did like Dave Attell's Underground.
Oh, wow.
Bro, he's super funny. Dark, dark, dark. Just like a comics comic, man. It was either going to bomb or decimate. I never saw him have like a medium set.
Mm.
And most of the time he would just kill. He would kill. But then when people didn't get him or they were just too dumb and didn't understand it, they would just, or thought they were too harsh, he was just like, phew.
And then there was, you remember the third? You don't remember the third person?
No, I do remember the third person. Corey, really funny guy. Had all the, he was really swole, really cut up, in shape guy. I had a job at the post office. He also died.
He died as well?
He died tragically. Motorcycle accident. Yeah, 18-wheeler. Like, he had these crotch rockets.
I know you guys are motorcycle fans.
I love motorcycles.
I know you do. I love them. It's dangerous.
I think it's all about, like, how you ride them, when you ride them. I'm not saying that's foolproof. I'm saying, like...
It reduces the risk.
Dramatically, I believe.
Okay.
Dramatically.
And then, no, you placed fourth, though, a year and a half in.
Yeah, I was 19. I still felt like I should have won.
How old are you now? 40 what?
Fuck you, bro. I'm 32.
No, you're not.
I play 30 on television.
So it takes you X number of years to get a Netflix show, and you were going to make some point.
No, I was saying, like, it's pretty amazing. Like, that's the when I started having those things, and people thought you were crazy.
When you're 14, you start putting it out there.
Yeah, you're nuts. Danny actually is the one that really, like, planted that seed immediately, because when he put me on at the Comedy Showcase, he took me outside immediately. I remember when he was like, oh, so you want to fucking go up in my club? I was like, yeah. I don't know why a Mexican guy would immediately go into Italian accent. Equally, why would an Arab guy myself start doing the Italian accent without skipping a beat? Fuck out of here. I want to do it. You want to do it? Yeah, I fucking want to do it. Yeah, you think you're funny? Yeah, I'm fucking funny. And he just put me on that Thursday, like not even a week later. Come Thursday, I put you up, see what you got, take it from there. I was like, forget about it.
How many minutes did you have at the time?
I had like probably 20 minutes.
Really? Real material?
Yeah.
Really?
I built it pretty fast.
What kind of material were you doing those days?
I'll never mention it.
Really?
Never mention my first joke. I'm just kidding. I have footage of it, actually.
What?
I have footage of my first set ever. Oh. I look like a used car salesman.
Are you serious?
Yeah. At the Laugh Stop at the Houston's Funniest Person Competition.
You have footage of your first ever open mic?
Yeah, I was 17. Not open mic. Houston's Funniest Person Competition.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Which is crazier. You're doing a show in the main room for your first time ever.
What do you mean by first time ever?
At a comedy club.
Oh, at a comedy club.
Yeah, I was 17 years old. You do got 6 minutes set. I signed up the night before.
This is when you were doing Farley impressions.
No. This is I have to fucking do a set. That's what I did in high school.
Wow.
You know, you don't listen, bro.
No, what are you talking? It's impossible for me to know.
Getting situational frustration.
I'm saying it's impossible for you to know.
Situational frustration. Okay. So we don't have to get into it. I'm just saying.
Situational frustration.
Situational frustration is when anger arises, not due to the other person, but the situation. Yet, the speaker's demeanor seems aggressive nonetheless. They're not mad at you, they're just mad about the situation. Don't take it so personally.
Yeah, no, I went at the club. I'm not going to go in there like doing Chris Farley impersonating. Like, it's the real crowd.
I'm just saying, you could have. There would be comics who could have done that.
Maybe.
So that's what I'm saying.
Maybe. You're right. Maybe I could have, but I was trying to be a stand-up comedian,
right,
not an impressionist.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So do you remember the jokes?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God, I would love to hear this.
One of the topics, I don't remember my opener.
Okay.
I don't remember my opener at all. But one of the things was about Jennifer Lopez for sure.
I was like, you look at Jennifer Lopez, you go, man, that's a great ass. Like, look at that ass. That's a beautiful ass. You don't think about the tennis ball that came out of it the night before.
Yeah. I remember this joke. You told me this. So funny.
You're just like so caught up in the sexual act. You don't think about it. That thing takes a shit all the time.
That's a great
joke. Still hilarious.
Still funny, bro. Come on. What a great observation.
So Babbitt comes up to me and yells at me.
Who's Babbitt?
He's the guy who was running the club pretending to be the owner.
Got it.
He was like, don't ever do any shit jokes. Ever. You understand? You're very funny. You should come out. But don't do shit jokes ever in my club. And I was just like, all I could think of was like, I'm 17. I just wrote this at 2:00 in the morning. It's less than 24 hours. I had to come up with this in a short period of time, and I made wild card. I beat people that were showing up open mics every week. What are you talking about? Like, I was just like so nervous. I'm like, how could you say something like that? I'm a baby, bro. I don't know. I look like a used car salesman, but I'm a baby.
Especially comedy-wise.
Literally and comedy-wise. I'm 17 years old.
In a grown-ass adult world.
Yeah. It was so upsetting. The guy was just so mean. I fucking, oh God, I loathed him, bro. I remember we were sitting in the main room at the Laugh Stop, and I was always trying to hang out late because he adopted the Comedy Store ideology of like, you got to hang out so you can go up. If you want time, you got to be at the club. I'm like, bro, everybody that's hanging out here is just getting shit-faced. Nobody's getting better.
Right.
Everybody here is just like pretending that they're going to have a career at this when they're just getting drunk as they can and emulating greats of the past.
Bro, that's still the case with a lot of comedy scenes.
It is. You're not going to go. I realized right away you're not going to fucking go anywhere if you're just going to pretend to be a comedian and drink as much as you can and be the coolest motherfucker in your city. It's just not going to happen.
Facts.
If you do get a shot, you're gonna fumble it badly because you're not fucking prepared. You don't go out and do shitty bar shows. If you do, you're doing the same ones in the same parts of your city, doing the same 10 minutes, maybe adding a little bit of material on it, maybe. And then you're trying to make the other comedians laugh and not really focusing on something that you're building.
And nowadays, not even doing that. Nowadays, he's doing TikTok comedy.
Yeah, TikTok comedy, which is, hey, you want to fucking do that? Do that. It's just not the art form, and it won't sustain it. TikTok comedy is not going to sustain a single hour of stand-up comedy in a club. It's just not. You can sell tickets like crazy the first time around, but you got to give them a reason to want to come back the next time. And when they come back the next time, that shit better be brand new.
Facts.
That's just the way it is. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. What were we talking about?
People were getting shit-faced.
Yeah.
Nobody was getting better. The guy would not put people on because he would say, you got to put a FaceTime at the club.
That's the mentality, right? So I'm just hanging out, watching everybody get shit-faced, talk shit about each other, you know. Some moments of, like, fun, real interaction, and checking with each other. It's cool. We're all like really close. It's fine. I mean, to a certain extent, everybody got really close and cared about each other. I was just like a young, two super young kid that knew that I was supposed to be doing this. And I had needed like real mentorship. And this hanging out at the club was just like, man, and I'm still not getting time. And then anyway, so we're in the main room and there's probably like six or seven comedians that are there all the time, pretty regularly. And Babbitt goes,
somebody in this room, I guarantee it, is gonna blow up. It's gonna make it.
And I remember sitting there, I had my hands underneath my thighs like this, exhausted. Don't drink, don't smoke weed. I wasn't smoking even cigarettes. And I'm thinking like,
yeah, asshole, it's me, bro. Put me up on fucking stage.
Wallahi al-azim.
I believe that, dude.
Swear to God, that's what I was thinking.
Wow.
I was like, you're an idiot. You just don't know. Anyway, Danny Martinez went up there. He took me outside immediately. He was like,
hey, I mentor a lot of comedians. You know, how old are you? 17. Okay, it's great. You're beyond your years. You need some mentorship. You're really talented. You can be something. If you listen to me, you're going to be on television. You'll be touring the world by the time you're this age. You're going to go on to this and this by the time you're that age. Then you're going to be on TV, probably movies. Like, you have that. But you got to listen to that, you know? Man, this sounds dope.
He goes, but it's going to take you 20 years to get there.
Wow, he told you that straight up at the beginning. Here we are. He was right, though. It's proof he's a good teacher. It's also proof you're a good student.
I'm an excellent student, bro. Are you kidding? I'm an excellent student.
No, you are.
So when he told me that, I was like, okay. I was like, amazing.
Straight up. Immediately, you were like, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in.
It felt probably like one of those things. Like, this is a magic moment.
I need an explanation
of my life.
It's of like, why I'm doing 20 years.
Right. So you ask him, what did he say?
Yeah, I'm doing an explanation. He was like, look, you need to go on the road. Need to earn your stripes. He says, fast rise, fast fall.
Mm.
Number one, very important. You could be 6 months too early, but you can't be 6 months too late.
Mm. I love that. He told you that in the beginning, early on.
Immediately, bro. Wow. I would hang out. I would start.
You got to explain that a little bit, because without context, it doesn't make sense. 6 months too early. What do you mean? 6 months too early, 6 months too late. For what?
Yeah, you could be 6 months too early to an audition, a shot, a big shot, where you're not ready. You fumble it. Then they've already seen this guy. Next guy, you know, there's too many people to pick from to try to give you a shot every year. He says, if that happens, you got a five-year jail period.
Go to the back of the line.
Exactly. See you in 5 years. I thought he mentioned Jim Carrey as an example where he went out and was going for it too early for him, went back to Vegas, kept doing his act, getting stronger, came back. And live in color.
Undeniable. Right.
Undeniable.
You got to come back undeniable.
That's exactly right. Arguably, I waited too long.
But the whole point about there's no such thing as 6 months too late, meaning
you can't be too ready for something.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't be over-prepared.
That's right.
It's fine.
It just means when people see you, it's just like, where did this guy come from?
And also, I have a very different mindset of how I wanted to pursue my career. I have a very unique set of circumstances. It's not for everybody per se, but is the standard. Even if you think about Chappelle as an example, of course he had massive success when he had Chappelle's show. Greatest hit television show of all time.
Yes.
Definitely sketch comedy show all time.
For sure.
100% best-selling DVD all time.
Facts.
Still trending. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
He started at 14. Yes. He busted out at 32.
What is that? 18 years.
18 years. Yeah, 18 years. Almost 20 years for overnight success.
Went away for a decade.
Did shows and stuff like that.
Sure.
Last 8 years, the best years of his life.
That's right. It just takes time, bro. People don't realize that. Everybody wants to microwave their careers.
Exactly, exactly. Fast rise, fast fall. Mentioned so many people.
Marlon Wayans said that. It's a great line.
Who is it?
Marlon Wayans.
Oh, dope.
All these comedians want to microwave their career. Bars.
We're going to keep the story going into the next episode. We'll hear more stories of Mo getting out on the road, being patient, and working hard. He'll also talk about what it means to put out a show that is the first major representation of a Palestinian-American family on Netflix. Thank you for listening to Joking Not Joking. Until next time, this is the professor signing off. Stay real, dum-dums.
Joking Not Joking is a Luminary original. Original audio production, music, and sound design by Salt. Executive produced by Noah Gersh, Jamie Schuffman, Nick Panama, and Kenzie Wilbur. Head of Creative, Jordan Galvin. Head of Production, Liz LeMay. Head of Post-Production, Robert Adler. Produced by Imran Ali Malik and Aaron Kennedy. Supervising producers, Ali Strobel and Alice Bierne. Post-Production Supervisor, Ali Honore. Edited by Jeffrey Muchnick and Aaron Kennedy. Sound design and music by Matthew Cilelli. Mixed by Aaron Kennedy. Recorded by Aaron Kennedy, Zach Jurich, and Mario Borgata. Guest booking by Drive Entertainment and Hager Eldos. Additional music courtesy of Extreme Music.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.